Some things are hard to talk about. They hit too close to home or make us uncomfortable, or we just don't know how to start the conversation. A grassroots group in Bemidji meets every month to have those conversations. The Truth and Reconciliation Group is made up of community members that want to face race relations in our own backyard.
Dr. Anton Troyer is an author and a professor of Ojibwe at Bemidji State University, and he's helped get the group up and running. He's also producing a new series for Northern Community Radio about Bemidji's truth and reconciliation efforts. In the first episode of Anishinaabe Najiman, Minnesota's tribal voice, Anton remembers a particularly awkward situation that led to a great conversation.
Bonjour, miigwech. My name is Anton, or Tony Troyer, and I work at Bemidji State University as professor of Ojibwe. I think going to school in Bemidji, I was often reminded of how uncomfortable things could be, not just, you know, being a teenager in teenage land, but discomfort around racial tensions and so forth, and especially some of the mean-spirited comments from peers and things like that. I graduated from high school in Bemidji with the thought of getting out of Dodge, which I suppose is not that uncommon for anybody of any race. I had this misconception that I would be able to leave all of the brambled racial borderland of my youth behind as well. I got into Princeton University, and I thought, oh, this will be so much better because everybody will have gone to some prep school. They have to know more about Native stuff than where I came from. That was really, really naive. And the stuff started all over again. And it made me realize that, okay, this is going to follow me. And there's really no way around it or away from it. There's only a way through it. And I inadvertently stumbled upon this strange experience when I was out at Princeton. And I was getting homesick. And I heard that there was some Comanche medicine woman coming to New Jersey. She was going to run sweat lodge ceremonies. I suppose it could have been a red flag, like the Comanches are from the Southern Plains. What are they doing in New Jersey? But I went. Waiting for the sweat lodge ceremonies, I drove up. Were about 20 white folk, and they were all completely naked. There wasn't a strip of clothes on. One guy had this tall staff with a couple deer antlers and some chicken feathers, and he's looking really serious. Part of me wanted to laugh because, dang, there's 20 naked people standing around in the woods in broad daylight. And part of me was really mad, like, is that what they think we're all about? So being naive, I opened the car door and I was immediately folded into a tight embrace by one of these completely naked strangers who was saying, I'm so sorry for what my people did to your people. And so now the desire to laugh, run, or get mad is just growing. But as I looked at this woman's face, she was an elder. She's on the verge of tears. And it occurred to me that if I just left, she'd keep on thinking whatever she's thinking. If I told her off or laughed, she'd think Indians are all mean-spirited. And so I said, could you put some clothes on? Because I would love to talk to you about all of this. And she did. And we actually had a pretty good conversation. And in a weird way, I guess I learned something from a naked stranger in the New Jersey woods, which is that it's really important to create some safe space, to give people a meaningful answer instead of just an angry rebuke, and that I would have to do my part. It's not fair that anyone should have to be the representative of their entire race or something like that. Nobody asks white folk, like, what do white people think about abortion, good or bad? Because they know there's a diversity of opinions and emotionally charged opinions. And it's like that with Native people, too. Whether we're talking abortion or mascots or any of the hot-button issues, gaming, per capita payments, whatever it happens to be. So one of the big disclaimers I would always give working on a project like this is that I can only speak for myself. And just like white folk are going to have a variety of opinions on any number of subjects, it'll be like that with us too. But at the same time, some things just always float to the top. When getting started, people have questions. And the questions are about anything from the simple things like terminology. Like, is it Indian, Native American, Aboriginal, Indigenous, First Nation person, or what? And then getting to the substance of, you know, what do you think about mascots or per capita payments or what is sovereignty? Why do tribes have their own governments? How does that work? How does that impact someone's life? What's it really like on a reservation? And I don't think those are all mean-spirited questions or anything, but ultimately, we've created a really strange society and educational system that disconnects people from people of different ages and different genders and different races. We have to build the bridges to make it easier to understand people across those lines.
Miigwech, Anton, author and professor of Ojibwe at Bemidji State University. Anton Troyer, one of the founding members of Bemidji's Truth and Reconciliation Group. This is the first in our series, Anishinaabe Na'ajiman, Minnesota's tribal voice, about what truth and reconciliation looks like in northern Minnesota. For more information about the group and how you can get involved, you can give us a call at 800-662-5799.
Anishinaabe Na'ajiman, Minnesota's tribal voice, is a part of Area Voices, our series covering the arts, culture, and heritage history of northern Minnesota. Area Voices is supported by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.